I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Happy Friday, everybody. So is the Pac-12 on life support, or is everything going to be okay? Who knows? Everybody's got opinions. Everybody, you got national media people fighting with each other on the TV contract, what it's going to look like. Let's go to Seattle, shall we? Brock Huard, kind enough to join us from the, of course, you know Brock Huard. NFL quarterback Brock and Saki here on Seattle Sports. Brock Huard, how are you, my friend?
Hey, Brock.
Really, all I am is FOH, like so many out here in this world. I'm just FOH. You know what that is, Scotty?
What's that?
Friends of hands.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. Yep. Yep. That's what we all are.
Oh, man.
As much just an FOH trying to survive on a Friday.
Oh, Brock, you cracked me up, man. We're sitting here with Nate Orchard, defensive end with the Cavaliers. He is kind of part of the show, and he runs a company called Advanced Windows, and he was just on with us. And I was just talking about the family that we had built in Indy. It's amazing how close everybody can stay after years and years and years. You just feel like a brotherhood. That NFL and that college brotherhood is really tight, man.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, and I watched a movie. It was called The Jesus Revolution. It was in theaters. Awesome, awesome movie. Highly recommended on so many levels. It just speaks to community and getting out of your comfort zone and taking a step of faith at times and reaching out. And so I watch that movie. I'm crying because I'm an old man now at 47 and I'm quick to tears. And I got down and I'm like, you know what? There is so much more that I can do. And, you know, my son Titus is 13. He plays on a baseball team. I don't know the ins and outs of baseball. I love watching him and others play. But I do know strength and conditioning. And I do know that after 14 years of doing radio in Seattle, and I've been partnered with Precor and Top Fitness for a lot of it, I've got a great gym in my garage. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to ask the skipper if I can start training these boys at least one night a week. You know, they practice Tuesday, Thursday. Give me Wednesday nights, maybe Mondays. And I am having the absolute time of my life. And I told those kids the other day, I referenced
That's
our
awesome.
Team in 02 and 03 in Indy. And I said, we were not the most talented team, but man, did we care about each other. And all of these years later, you're absolutely right. Got to see a bunch of folks at Peyton's Hall of Fame deal a couple of summers ago. And Tony cultivated it. But just a group that really cared about one another. And frankly, it's what Kyle, you know, has done in your guys' market. In so many ways for so many years, running a tough program, a demanding program, asking a lot of those guys. But it brings you together, and it's been a big part of that youth success in Salt Lake, no question about it.
So we were talking about this when we were teasing, having you on the air, and backing up Peyton Manning. And I always hear, you know, when a backup quarterback comes into a game and leads him to a victory, the cliche thing to say is, well, I prepared all week like I was going to be the starter. I prepared, and everybody says that. But when you know Peyton Manning is going to do everything he can to make sure that you don't get out on that field, what's the mindset like when you're backing up a guy like that?
Terrifying. I joke about it. I don't even know if our coordinator back then, Tom Moore, knew I was left-handed. I got played in the preseason game, and he would call the play. He'd call these play-action plays. I'm like, man, it'd be a lot easier if you called it the other way so I could fake and not have to, like, flip my hips and do it like I'm right-handed. So I don't even think he knew nor cared what hand I threw with. And I remember one game in particular, and this is where Peyton was, amongst the many ways he was so unbelievably special and talented, and I think Hans would agree with this. He was an offensive lineman's dream because he knew every protection better than anybody else. He got the ball out of his hand. He did not take sacks. He did not take hits. He didn't hold the ball. And we played the Jets in a home game, and this may have been 03. And he had I think he was like 31 of 33 with two drops and not a sack. I don't think he got hit in the game. And I remember watching the tape the next day going, this is why I said terrified. Like, if I got to go in the game, I don't even know. He set the bar so high that it would be, you know, I remember walking through, actually, just vividly, after that Monday film session, going on the field by myself and walking through the script of plays, just doing it versus air to see if I could complete 31 of 33, let alone NFL guys, NFL environment. I mean, the guy was so stinking good and so special at his craft that, and you saw what life was like without him. The one year he got hurt and, you know, God bless Curtis Painter and some of the others that tried to fill in. You know, there was no filling in for the mighty, mighty big shoes he tried to, that others tried to fill.
It's absolutely true. And I was there. I came in the year before the Colts brought you in, and our backup quarterback that year was Mark Rippon. And yeah. I remember thinking, Mark Rippon? Like, I was thinking, I think I was in eighth grade when I watched you win a Super Bowl, and now he's my backup quarterback, and I'm looking around like, I guess it doesn't really matter, because he was probably 45 at the time, and
correct. It couldn't was move. Could not yeah. move at all.
No, yeah. and I remember thinking, yeah. So this is the backup, huh? This is what they got. And then when they brought when you came in, I'm like, okay, this makes sense. This one makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no real game action for me in those couple years. Just got to watch him get to work. And you know, I heard your tease there, Scotty. And I know we could tell Peyton and Colt stories all day long.
I know.
But your
yeah.
market, your market is concerned in every market on the West Coast, and that is the survival of the conference. And you know, I was in Arizona on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I sat with the commissioners. I got to see Kyle and his wife on Monday night at dinner and got to mingle with a lot of the coaches and the ADs and the commissioner. And then we did the same the next night with the Big 12. And I will tell you, you could not have had two different environments. The Tuesday night get together in Shindig with the Big 12, there was so much momentum, so much energy. You know, the first year commissioner is a driver. He is a expansionist. He comes out of, you know, he was a CEO with the Nets, and I think he's been either with Jay-Z or P. Diddy or somebody as a CEO for a number of years, aggressive, and you feel it in the conference that's following that lead is they got their TV deal, and they're not done. And on the flip side, the night before with the Pac-12, I'm not going to say survivalist, but it was not a lot of vision cast. And how could it be with so much unknown in a media deal that, as one AD told me, is close, but close is good for horseshoes. And that's not good in this business because we've got to get this deal done.
So that's the thing that I think is really fascinating, is because we've been talking about this media deal for about a year. And in the meantime, the Big 12 leapt ahead of the Pac-12. Got their thing done, and now they're got all these kind of cool ventures with Rucker Park and playing games overseas, and I mean, so many cool things.
Yep.
And yet the Pac-12 just can't seem to put this thing together. Where's your, I don't want to say panic, but where's your concern level with the overall future of this conference?
Well, it was hard for me to listen to George Kliavkoff, and it was the first time, and I've been around him probably a half dozen times. I sit on their alumni council. I've actually really appreciated much of his tone and tenor. I thought last year at media days, he was bold. He was borderline gruff. He showed his disappointment in SC and UCLA leaving and all of that. I thought he handled it really well. This was the first time Monday night where I'm like, I don't like the sound of this. I don't need to hear about the water polo team and that you guys went 19-2 out of conference. Nobody in this setting needs to hear any of this right now. What they need to hear is the direction. What they need to hear is that we're close to a deal. That, you know, and now obviously he can't do that publicly, and you don't negotiate through the public and all of that. My gut and my hunch, Scotty, is that there is a deal there, but it's not at the numbers, anywhere near the numbers they want. It's likely a deal that's going to be spliced amongst a bunch of the networks. I thought the company that I worked with at Fox was out. I got a sense over this week that they're not, because right now I think a lot of these networks are feeling some blood in the water, that there may be a number now that, that you know, the first the Pac-12 scoffed at, but now may have to live with. And it may be a number that doesn't compete with the Big 12, but is a number that at least keeps this group together. And best case scenario, Scotty and Hans, is it's a short-term deal. I'm talking a five-year deal, maybe even less. And you know what? Hopefully the Utahs and the Oregons and the Washingtons get into the playoffs and make noise in the playoffs and grow their brands and show that they're a legitimate playoff contender now that we expand to 12, and that they can get back to that table in 5 years with a better media market, some networks that are flush with a little more capital, frankly, than they are today. And we'll have another chance to take a swing at it where the market conditions are a little more favorable than they are right now.
So painful. And I know how much this conference means to you, playing in it and what it's meant to you over the years. And it's crazy to see it start to deteriorate the way it's deteriorating.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America. But this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Scotty and I had Dennis Dodd. Dennis Dodd with CBS Sports hung out with us for about 30 minutes yesterday and answered every question that we could lob at him. And he was obviously in the headlines yesterday. And I asked him, Brock, if the Big 12 is essentially weaponizing all of these advancements and announcements and all of these rumors of Ion carrying a Pac-12 network and all these different things that we're hearing of the Pac-12, if the Big 12 is weaponizing in an attempt to shred the Pac-12. He said he didn't believe that they're weaponizing. He said, I think the Big 12 would be doing this regardless. I don't think that they're doing this to try to hurt the Pac-12. Do you agree that with that, or do you believe that the Big 12 is sitting back looking at this, laughing, and putting these things together, making it appear like it's a better place to be for these Pac-12 teams that might have the option?
Well, they are aggressive. There is no question about that, and they've been aggressive. And I remember hearing from George Kliavkoff when asked what has he learned on the job, and he said that this is the least collegial business he's been in. for a word right there within the sport itself of being a college sport and being collegial, it is anything but that. That you trust no one, that you believe no one, that you would think that these conferences and these commissioners would look out for the best interest of collegiate sports in a collegial environment, and they don't. And they don't. And we have known that, and we have seen that, and we have all felt the repercussions of that over the last decade plus. You know, and I know that there has always been movement, and you know what, there used to be a Southwest Conference, and there used to be a powerful Big East football conference, and we've seen them dissolve, but I just don't think we've ever seen this kind of, I don't know, I don't want to call it trench warfare, but this kind of just protect your own butt and cover yourself more than we ever have. Because, frankly, there's not just millions, there's billions at stake in this business, in the constructs of it now, and that's different than it was, Hans, when you and I played, you know, last century. It's just a different environment, and it is brutal, brutal big boy business. Mm.
Brock, you are joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. So, Brock, kind of look at the future a little bit. What do you see in the next 5 to 10 years? Do we have the two super conferences? Do you feel like we're separating the P5 from the G5 into two distinctly different organizations? What do you think the future holds here?
Yep, I don't know. And anybody that says they know or they've got a feel on it, they don't know. I know that the SEC is the most powerful entity in college sports right now. and it is followed by the Big Ten. I know the ACC is locked in for a long, long time in their TV deal. I know the Big 12, as I just told you about, their commissioner is hyper, hyper aggressive, will not settle, will not back down, comes from the non-collegial world of professional sports and the music industry, and he is going to be hyper aggressive. So, yeah, I have, you know, those are all of those fiefdoms. And then we have, you know, the West Coast and the area that you and I make home and love, and some very, very proud programs and successful programs, like the one that Kyle has built there, like the one in Eugene, Oregon, like the one, you know, that's had a pretty significant brand in Washington for the last 30, 40 years. So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen with this conference, but the longer it endures, and every day and every week that passes without a deal, you do become a little bit more vulnerable and a punching bag for those others that have, you know, some stability that you are desperately seeking.
Living out there in Colorado, are you hearing anything other than Deion Sanders 24/7?
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe what he's doing, Brock?
Whatever you do, Hans, do not make the mistake and call him Deion Sanders, okay?
Oh.
Because not only did he tell my 13-year-old son at a college at a Colorado women's basketball game we were at, he also told his respective coaches in the conference, don't call me Deion. You call me Coach Crime.
Oh, geez.
Oh.
And that is true. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall when maybe Kyle said, hey, Deion, and he said to Kyle Whittingham, hey, Kyle, call me Coach Crime.
Oh, my gosh. I want to know what happened.
Please let this happen.
I want to see what happened.
If that happened on a pay-per-view, I would throw down $100 on that. Let's go.
I would have loved to have seen that. I don't know which coach in the conference called him Deion in the meeting, but they did. And he quickly corrected him and made it known that he only goes by Coach Prime.
Oh, Brock, what he's doing there is just insane. It's funny, Scotty, I've got a son that's really, really coming together, big kid, and playing some really good football. And Scotty said, would you let him go play for, I guess I'll call him Coach Prime. The sad thing is, yes, because I do think he's going to put together some good teams and some good players. But I wonder about it a little bit. Would you let your son go play for Coach Prime?
Right now, it's hard. So I was listening to our sister station here. They had two alums from Colorado on their show filling in today. And it was just nothing but an utter love fest. And they love how he's an irritant and love how he's shaking it up and love how I think, 60-some, 70-some scholarship guys have been out of there. I don't even know how many he has. I did ask a couple of the coaches, you know, at these meetings, do you think it's possible that he can even fill? And they're like, no chance. He's not even going to get to 65 scholarship guys this fall. And even looking, you know, there's a kid from Washington that just signed there, and I think he had one sack in 3 years. So he used to be a five-star player, but he's not. He's a very average player. So he can say that he's bringing in Louis Vuitton, but there's only so much Louis Vuitton out there in the supply chain in the portal. So, yeah, I will be deeply curious how he handles adversity, because adversity is coming his way. Never really handled it, played on a lot of winning teams professionally, was a star in the broadcast world, turned Jackson State super quickly. There's going to be adversity coming, Hans, and before I would let my son play or watch your son play, I need to see how he handles adversity that he's never really faced in his life to this point.
I love it.
Well, I do think it's really fascinating, too, because there's a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of coaches, that are going to see this massive transfer or roster overhaul. Does it work? Because we might see more of it down the line. And then the other element, too, like go back to Kyle Whittingham. I got to imagine Kyle sitting in those coaches' meetings down in Phoenix and looking at him like, you have no idea what you're in for. This isn't Jackson State.
Absolutely.
And when, nope. You know, and one thing about the Utes, man, they will smack you in the mouth. Mm-hmm. And what happens in that late November game when we smack you in the mouth? Are you going to be ready for that level of physicality? And they're not, it's going to take them a while to get there.
Oh, it's going to be so interesting.
Yeah.
I cannot wait.
Yeah. No, he'll get his receivers and he'll get his DBs and, you know, he'll get some of the skill players. I don't think there's any question. And you've seen that in this early acquisition phase. But, yes, if we've learned any lesson from those youths in Salt Lake City, this game is still driven through the line of scrimmage. And if you do not have the line of scrimmage, and his son starts taking a beating this year behind a very porous offensive line, as I said, I will be very, very curious if he is a thumb guy or a finger guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's really easy to be a finger guy and point at the luggage that wasn't good enough for you. But at some point, you're going to be a thumb guy and point it back at yourself and go, yep, yep, this is the plan and this is the luggage and I got to deal with it. How he deals with it will be must-see TV, no question about it.
Well, Brock, you're the best, brother. Thank you for everything. Thanks for always being willing to jump on with an old teammate. I appreciate it. And good luck to you. You guys are killing it. And I can't wait for this football season to get back around.
You know, just another FOH, just trying to survive out here, man.
Hey, you're just one of thousands. I don't even appreciate this.
Like, I want to appreciate it. I just don't.
Love you, boys. Have a great
Thanks,
weekend.
Brock.
Love you, brother. Bye.
All right. See
you.
That's Brock Huard right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.